This message entitled The Song of the Spirit was delivered to Christ our Rock Bible Church on July 10th, 2022 by the Reverend Roy D. Warren Jr. The scripture reference is Acts 4, 8-12.
Acts chapter 4. I've noticed that following Pentecost, there are several times where the Bible is very specific, and it doesn't assume you understand what's going on. It literally comes right out with it and tells you verbatim, word for word, exactly what we need to see. Now, I've noticed that, so we may take a couple, 3 weeks or maybe longer, I don't know. We'll see how many of these we run into where, like I said, God is just very specific, makes it clear this is not of people's own thinking and own doing, but rather it is a matter of the Spirit. It's a matter of the Spirit. Today I want to take a look at what it means to understand that there is a song that God gives us. Really, if I take you back to the story that I just told the kids about the little deer and the fun I believe the deer was having in essentially hiding from me and then darting around and hiding again. I see a song in that. Now the deer isn't singing, and we don't often, you know, burst into song, I suppose, unless the Lord shows us how. But there is a song whereby we can not only hear from him, but see him and be led by him. And I'm calling it the Song of the Spirit. The Song of the Spirit. I'll show you this first off, but then I want to... Maybe I'll just wait. And we'll jump into verse 8 just a little bit later. Okay, and you'll see what I'm talking about. I believe you will. All right, praise God. I got a little story here for you. One father answered the phone at home to have another father ask anxiously for his teenage daughter. Now, she wasn't there, and he told the father so. You know, she isn't here. He then suggested maybe a couple of other places she could call, but you can imagine the thoughts that are going through the one father's mind, like, where is she? She said she was going to be here, and now she's not, and she's over at this boy's house and that boy's house. I don't know when she's coming home. I don't know what she's up to. You can just imagine all of this racing, okay? Well, said the second father, if you do see her, send her home right away, because I need some help with her homework. It wasn't anything like we thought. It had nothing to do with, you know, where is she? And she said she's going to be here, and she's not, and she's over there, and something's wrong, and so forth and so on. Now, a lot of times that does happen, of course. But you know what? We just need to understand that our God is going to lead the way. And for all of us, we know which direction he will send us. That's the purpose of the song. That's the purpose of the song. Okay? Now, you thought it was going to turn into a big mess, right? The guy can't find his daughter, doesn't know where she is. She thought she was going to be here and there, but she's not. And, you know, which boy is she with? And, you know, so which father do we call? You know, is basically what's going on in his mind. In either case, the song appears to have been lost. There's not the trust has faded away, and maybe rightfully so. But you know, it's a mumbo jumbled mess, or so it seems. Well, except that he's just looking for somebody to help with the homework. Guess what? It's not up to the father to do the homework. But the song gets, I don't know, maybe it's a matter of the song fading and not being able to hear it well enough or whatever. You all know that they've made a whole genre out of this. You can have a movie, and then all of a sudden the movie stops, and all of a sudden everybody in the movie gets into a song and dance. And, you know, they're called musicals, you know. And, I mean, just about everybody really in the whole scene is going to burst spontaneously into song. And for some of us, it's like, you know, what's the point in that? Others like it. Others like the musicals, you know, Oklahoma, you know, and everybody's dancing away and jumping around and so forth and so on. I'll wait till they come out with Zorro the Musical before I bother with that, all right? Anyway, but some people like them, some people don't. But they're called musicals. And life is different in a musical. You know, you'd be in the middle of some hard situation and all of a sudden there's a song. And that's spiritually what God is trying to speak to us here. If we listen carefully, there's a song. Not everybody sings, though. Have you noticed that? In fact, many people have lost their song, maybe even lost it altogether. Maybe you know someone who's lost their song, their spiritual song. Their life used to sing, their life used to sparkle, but now there is only discord, there's only static, there's only unrest, and maybe at one point or another, one time or another in your life, that someone was you. I mean, could be, it can be any of us. The people of Israel lived this kind of tuneless existence during their Babylonian exile. They felt distant from God. The psalmist tells how they hung their harps on the willows. You know, we don't need our instruments anymore. We don't need to be playing. We don't have a song anymore. So we hung our harps on the willows. And explain that they couldn't possibly sing God's song in their present circumstances. I just can't muster it. I just can't deal with this. And basically, it gets down to what I said before. I don't need this. How many times have we heard ourselves say or think or heard somebody, I don't need this. But the Christian doesn't depend on his or her circumstances for any musical inspiration. Let me give you an illustration of this. There was a little girl once whose family often traveled the Pennsylvania Turnpike. And she was very, very afraid of tunnels. Now, you know there are some tunnels on the Pennsylvania Turnpike. And every time she would get scared, almost not to death, but scared. When they approached a tunnel, she would see it, coming up, and she would bury her face in her mother's shoulder until they passed through to the other side. But after traveling the turnpike hundreds of times, and I know what that's like, but there's no tunnels on the Ohio Turnpike, and that's the one I'm more familiar with. But after traveling the turnpike hundreds of times, she actually began not only to keep her eyes open, but also to look forward to the tunnel. So her feelings about the whole thing changed. Her attitude, you know, she was not so scared about the whole thing. When her parents asked her why, she said with a great big grin, she said, well, it may be dark in the middle, but the light is at both ends. You've heard people say there's light at the end of the tunnel. Well, there's light at the beginning of the tunnel too. And that's what she was saying. You have light going in and you're going to have light coming out. And she found encouragement in that. Yes, it's dark in the middle. you go at night and they have the lights on. Makes another story altogether. There's light at both ends of the tunnel. The longer we walk with Jesus, the more we come to trust in his presence. Praise God. And the less we fear our own circumstances. And the less we judge everything by our own circumstances. With him every day, every hour, we become ripe for singing. Amen. Oklahoma. Couldn't you just see that? You're driving down the Pennsylvania Turnpike, and you're heading into the tunnel, and all of a sudden your kids break into song, right? Oklahoma. You know, I can't picture that. But I suppose it could happen. And this little girl, she got over it. Praise God, she got over it. Hallelujah. To me, I don't know. I can take it, leave it. I don't care a whole lot for a lot of the musicals I've seen. They seem so fake, so unrealistic, because that song wouldn't have happened there. But maybe it needs to. Maybe that song should be there to bring the story to a right focus and to a conclusion. So, maybe so. But you know the song is coming, and your life is going to be ripe for it if you keep Jesus at the forefront. Back in the book of Acts, and I'll have you turn there. Would you turn to chapter 2 for a minute? I know that's not where we're at, but I want to show you something. Back in Acts chapter 2, Peter explains the coming of the Spirit and the reason for it. Remember this? Go back to the very beginning of chapter 2, that is. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, now we talked about this a few weeks ago, was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, not really a wind, a mighty rushing wind, but like a wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. Not real fire on top of their heads, but it reminded them of fire. It looked like fire. And it sat upon each and every one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They were all filled. I think that's something that might help us to keep a focus on for a few more weeks maybe. And take a look at this. What is God saying when he says they were filled with the Holy Spirit? Turn to chapter 4. Get back to where we were. Okay? You ready? In chapter 4, we see, or we hear, maybe it's better to say we hear, Peter speak. And look at verse 8. Okay? This is after Pentecost. The Spirit's already been given. Then Peter, watch this, filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, we already knew he was filled with the Holy Ghost, but for some reason, God thought it was important to say it again, to make it clear that he is filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't get hung up on the word ghost. Don't get hung up on that at all. That's just an old King James, you know, old English way of saying it, okay? Spirit, ghost, whatever, okay? It's the Holy Spirit. Filled with the Holy Spirit, it says. It said unto them, ye rulers of the people and the elders of Israel, if we this day be examined on the good deed done to this impotent man, you know, the man that was healed in the temple, and by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, now you did this thing, you crucified him, okay, you did it, whom God raised from the dead, praise God, you crucified him, God raised him from the dead, he didn't agree with your assessment, he raised him up from the dead, and even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. That man, okay, is right here. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders. You tried to get rid of it, which has become the head of the corner, and it's become the most meaningful stone of the whole building, the cornerstone. Watch this. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's the only way. Other people, other religions, they can carry on about this and that, and their Buddhas and their you know, all the prophets and all the rest of it. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that there's one name given among men whereby we must be saved. Praise the name of Jesus. We must be saved. And I just think it's interesting that God takes the effort, uses the space. He could have used the space for other things, but he says so in verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, he didn't have to say that. It's already obvious from the previous chapters that Peter is filled with the Holy Ghost. Why does he say it? He says it to make it crystal clear that Peter is saying what he's saying because he's being led by the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit of God. He is filled with the Holy Spirit. Praise the name of Jesus. You know, years ago, there was an old book called The Kneeling Christian. The Kneeling Christian. And the author tells of an incident that occurred in the life of Hannah Whiteall Smith. A friend who occasionally paid her visits of 2 or 3 days was really a great trial. They did not look forward to this person coming to visit. They were a problem. They got on their nerves. They got on the people's nerves, okay? Her personality and her demands grated on Hannah's nerves. The time came when this critical woman was planning a visit for a whole week, not just 2-3 days, a whole week. What am I going to do with her for a whole week? And Hannah felt that nothing but a night of prayer would fortify her for this great testing. So, she prepared a plate of cookies. Praise God for chocolate chip cookies. You know what I'm saying? You know that that night has to be filled with prayer, but it also is filled with chocolate chip cookies. She prepared a plate of cookies and went to her bedroom ready to spend the night fortifying her soul for this impending visit, and I'm sure fortifying her strength in a snack. No sooner had she knelt by her bed, watch this, than Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 flashed in her mind. God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. She later said, when I realized that, I gave him thanks and praised him for his goodness. Then I jumped into bed, slept the night through. My guest arrived the next day, and I quite enjoyed her visit. But she also knew it wasn't the cookies that made her that happy. She had God's Spirit. Amen. That's why it says, and then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, was able to say this or do that or whatever it is. And there are numerous times that the Bible takes the time and the space to make it clear that this person that you're hearing about has the Spirit of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So, when you look for the Holy Spirit to change attitudes, you're probably going to find yourself to be greatly blessed. And that's what happened for her. She had this negative attitude. She just, you know, she was fed up with this lady. She didn't want the visit. You know what that can be like. I remember. I guess this happened to us one time when I think about it now. We had a fella come. I'm not going to give details or even give names, but there was a fella that came. This is years ago. And he came, and he was like from the Presbyterian. He's from another country. And he came and he visited, and it was just going to be for the one day or 2 days or whatever it was going to be. And but we had the opposite attitude. We didn't look like it was going to be a big hassle or anything, but he was. He was. He just, criticized everything, He'd come into the church and he'd see Bibles in the pews and, what in the world do you need Bibles in the pews for? Everybody should be bringing their own Bibles. Well, that's true, but not everybody does. And so there's a Bible, and if you want to look something up or when you want to read along with what the pastor's saying or whatever, you got the Bible right there in case you didn't bring yours, unless maybe you left it in the car or whatever. I mean, this guy, he didn't like anything about this country. He didn't like anything about, the church in this country. He just criticized absolutely everything. So it was kind of the opposite in a way. It wasn't us looking that he was going to be a problem, but he did turn out to be that problem. But we had to come to the Lord and just say, Lord, you got to handle this thing. Because we can't come out and say, hit the road, Jack. Go ahead and, I'll take you to your next house or whatever. And by the way, I'm not talking about our good friend, Batang. It was another one. There is salvation in none other than Jesus. And that is through the power of the Holy Spirit. Salvation itself is by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And then there's the next day. 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 And once his song comes upon us, our lives are going to end up singing a different tune. And I think you're going to notice it like pretty much immediately. I remember years ago, there was a popular song a few years back. It went something like this. I'm not going to try to sing it, but I want to be rich. I want a little bit of love, a little bit of peace, and a little bit of happiness. I want to be rich. Now, what the person's talking about is, I will be rich if I had a little bit of love, if I had a little bit of peace and a little bit of happiness. And then the question then falls to us, do we want to be rich? Now take that literally at first, okay? Let's take that literally at first. There are lots of people aspire to do just that, to be rich, okay? That is, as much money as they can get, much property as they can get, or whatever. Think about Bill Gates for a minute, okay? Bill Gates, Microsoft co-founder. I don't know if he's still the world's richest man, but at one point he was. He said in an interview one time that he never aspired to riches. He was never trying to get rich. That's what he said. He just found something he loved and did it. He wanted a company, okay, that would support him and a few of his Harvard buddies who were about as computer crazy as he was, and then it grew from there. Now, his incredible success was an outgrowth of his passion for computers, programming, and all of that kind of stuff, Microsoft, whatever. Jesus put it this way. He said that that where man's treasure is, there his heart is also. And I know I've said time and time again that really you can tell pretty much by, what people are about, what their lives are about, what their canceled checks say, to see where their heart is, to see what's really important to them, okay, whether you use checks or not. Where you place your treasure is really an indicator of where your heart will be. I was reading a while back, and I came across a story about a couple who were seeking a divorce. 20 years of marriage, and they were going to get divorced. The husband anticipated a rather large financial settlement because he had been quite successful. As he was going through his financial records prior to the actual divorce, he discovered a file, a little, what do you call it? Yeah, a file. It's a little, it's got checks in it, okay? You know, you ever see a little box, the shape of a check, and there's checks in it? That's what I'm talking about. He discovered this thing. It goes back a few years. He looked at the first old check. And it was to the hotel where he and his wife had spent their first night of their honeymoon. Another check was written to the physician who delivered their baby girl. Still another was a down payment on the first house that the couple had purchased. He became so emotional going through this paper trail of his marriage that he called his wife. It was in the middle of the night. And he said, I've discovered that I have too much invested in you. And you have too much invested in me for us to start all over again with somebody else. I wonder if we could get together tomorrow and plan how we're going to spend the next 20 years. I think it could be said that this man discovered a great spiritual truth. The way you really get rich is to give. It was in the news a while back. I don't know what the result of the whole thing was, but Bill Gates and his wife were getting divorced. What about love? What about peace? What about happiness? The song said, I want to be rich. It's important that we discover this great spiritual truth, really. The way you really get rich is to give. I can show you by going back to the scripture. Just take a second. Would you go back to chapter 4? Verse 12. Chapter 4, verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Praise God. Donald Stamps, in his note on this, he said the disciples were convinced that the greatest need of every individual was salvation from sin and from the wrath of God. And they preached that this need could be met by no one other than the person of Jesus Christ. This truth reveals the exclusive nature of the gospel and places upon the church the heavy, heavy responsibility of preaching the gospel to every person. If there were other ways of salvation, the church could be at ease. but according to Christ himself, there is no hope for anyone apart from Jesus. And this is the basis of the entire missionary imperative. This message goes out really all over the world for anybody who would want it. I mean, it's here first, but they can find it on a computer. Praise God for the song that he wants to plant in so many hearts. But you know what? He wants to begin right here. He wants to begin in us. Praise the Lord. Amen. He's got a plan. He's got a point. And praise God, it all begins with being filled with him. There you had it. There you had it. It's after Pentecost, and it's even a little while after Pentecost. And God still saw fit to make it clear that Peter, who is obviously filled with the Holy Spirit, made it clear that Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. And he said what he said because of it. He did what he did because of it. And that's what's supposed to be going on in our hearts and lives and in our families and in our relationships. Amen? Because we've got the Spirit. Amen? Praise the name of Jesus. My faith looks up to thee.